It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And if you're wanting to be a student in this school, you may want to go get your Bible and turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. And we'll begin reading in verse 17. We've been doing a verse-by-verse study here from the book of Ezekiel chapter 34. And we'll continue that as we study this prophet and the book that bears his name. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. In Ezekiel chapter 34, beginning in verse 17, we see that God declares that he himself will be the judge of his sheep. We read in Ezekiel 4:17, "And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep. The rams and the he-goats, seemeth it a small thing unto you to have fed upon the good pasture? But ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the clear waters. But ye must foil the residue with your feet. And as for my sheep, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have foiled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord Jehovah unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because ye thrust with side and with shoulder, and push all the disease with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will save my flock, that they shall no more be a prey, for I will be judge between sheep and sheep." God declares that he would judge between sheep and sheep, between the rams and the he-goats, the fat sheep and the lean sheep, between the ones who had grown fat by oppressing others and the ones who had preyed upon the helpless, the ones who had consumed all they could and had spoiled the rest so that others could not eat it, the ones who had pushed away from the food with their horns the weak and sickly ones, and the ones thus treated and would save his true and faithful flock from being prey any further. He would judge between the true and the false ones, between the hypocrites and the faithful ones. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 23 and 24, we read, "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, Jehovah, will be their God, and my servant David, prince among them. I, Jehovah, hath spoken it." These promises of God had a spiritual as well as a temporal and literal significance as others' promises had. For instance, in Amos 9 and verse 11, we read where the prophet said, "In that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, that is the fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old." Amos had prophesied long before Ezekiel, but in his prophecy, he embraced the reign of Christ. In Acts chapter 15, verses 14 through 18, we read that Simon had rehearsed how first God visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, and to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written, "After these things I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men may seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who maketh these things known from of old. Wherefore my judgment is that we trouble them not, that from among the Gentiles turn to God. It is here, in the book of Acts, that James quotes this prophecy of Amos and shows that its fulfillment is in Christ as King and in the salvation of the Gentiles as well as the Jews, then building again the tabernacle of David, building again the ruins thereof, and setting it up that the Gentiles may seek the Lord and be saved, means the establishment of Christ as King and the opening of his kingdom to the Gentiles. The kingdom of Christ and the tabernacle of David are the same and have been set up already. Then Christ must be the David of our lesson and the David who was to come. In Luke chapter 1, in verses 67 through 69, we read about Zacharias, who was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he hath visited and wrought redemption for his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." From the context, it is clearly seen that it is Jesus that God raised up in the house of his servant David. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 21, we read, "And afterward they asked for a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, to whom he also bare witness and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who shall do all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to the promise, brought unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." Later in that same chapter, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 34, we read, "And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he hath spoken on this wise, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David, because he saith also in another psalm, Thou wilt not give thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had in his own generation served the counsel of God, fell asleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. For David, after he had in his own generation," it says, "but he," in verse 37, "but he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, brethren, that through this man is proclaimed unto you the remission of sins, and by him every one that believeth is justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." We read also in Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 36, "Brethren, I may say unto you freely of the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us unto this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins he would raise up one to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that neither was he left unto Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus did God raise up, whereof we are all witnesses, being therefore by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath poured forth this which ye see and hear. For David ascended not into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom ye have crucified." And so also the verses of our lesson here in Ezekiel declare that God would set up over his sheep one shepherd, even his servant David. We know that Christ is this one shepherd, therefore he is this servant David. Again, these verses state that Jehovah would be their God, and his servant David a prince among them. And we know that Christ is this prince. He is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 55 and verse 3 says, "Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." In Ezekiel 16 and verse 60 we read, "Nevertheless I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant." Jeremiah 30 and verse 9 says, "They shall serve Jehovah their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them." Ezekiel 37 and verse 24 says, "And my servant David shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in mine ordinances, and observe my statutes, and do them." Going on to the book of Hosea, chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king, and without prince, and without sacrifice, and without pillar, and without ephod or teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return, and seek Jehovah their God, and David their king, and shall come with fear unto Jehovah, and to his goodness in the latter days." Going on with our lesson, in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 25 and 26 we read, "And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and I will cause evil beasts to cease out of their land, and they shall dwell securely in the wilderness, and sheep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in its season, and there shall be showers of blessings." Under this one shepherd, God's servant David, the flock would have a covenant of peace. This covenant is an everlasting one. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and at his birth the angels praise God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, in whom he is well pleased." Luke 2 and verse 14. Everyone in the Israel of God today is at peace with God and with all God's children, and follows peace with all men, Hebrews 12 and verse 14. As people become Christians, they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks and learn war no more. There is peace in God's holy mountain. There is peace among God's people in God's church. God blessed his people, returned from captivity with peace and prosperity. The showers came in due season. The trees of the field yielded their fruit. The earth gave her increase, and they were secure in the land, no more a prey to the nations around them. God would give them showers of blessings. But more abundant would be the spiritual blessings God would bestow upon his people under the king, his servant David, and the one shepherd. Here again we're reminded of the declaration of John chapter 10 in verse 16. "And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and shall become one flock, one shepherd." That is the one Christ the shepherd, and the one flock is his one church. And into that one church does God gather all his people. Well, that brings to a close this lesson on the book of Ezekiel. And as I turn the page, I see we're going to begin a study of the time of the return of Israel from captivity in future lessons, so you stay tuned to this Bible school.